Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The makers of Super Shell gasoline invite you to Shell Chateau, where your host is the world's outstanding entertainer, Al Jolson, with an all-star bill of famous guest stars. We switch you now to Shell Chateau, where you will be greeted by Al Jolson.
Good evening, friends. Here's where your worry ends, where everyone unbends. Good evening, friends. Your name somehow I can't recall right now, but know you all I call. Good evening, friends. Here's Herr Blau, once I met Dom, Monsieur Berry, once I cherie. Come on, Polly, boo, way, boo, way, boo, way, boo. I know you all I do. Good evening, friends. Hold up the chair and turn the light down low. You're at our Shell Chateau. Good evening, friends. We're on the air just once a week, you know. Each week a brand new show for you, my friend. The music starts, the curtain parts, an hour of fun for everyone. Although it's true that I cannot see you, I almost feel I do. Good evening, friends. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And once again, I welcome you to Shell Chateau, where each Saturday night we present the brightest stars of the entertainment world. Just listen to who's here tonight. Star number one, Victor Young and his music. And by the way, since Victor came to Hollywood, he's certainly become a breezy guy. And why not? Every movie actress has given him the air. But wait a minute, Victor don't care. He says movie actresses are nothing but a bunch of jigsaw puzzles put together. Well, all I can say is, whoever put Mae West together certainly did a swell job. Stars number two, Reese and Dunn, the most absent-minded singers of songs and show business. These boys are so absent-minded that this afternoon they took their automobiles out for a walk and left the girls in the garage to be simonized and polished. Star number three, Sylvia Fruit, a cute little singer of songs you'd want to meet. And Sylvia's an outdoor girl, too. She likes athletics. For the past few days, she's been going to the gymnasium with Victor Young. She loves to exercise with dumbbells. Star number four, get this, Maxie Rosenblum, former light heavyweight champion of the world. This afternoon, I took Maxie to a party where they served refreshments, and Maxie acted just like a fighter. He beat everybody to the punch. Star number five, Otto Kruger and Martha Sleeper, those grand stars of the stage and screen. Tonight, they offer a scene from the current Broadway success, Accent on You. And now, let me tell you folks a surprise I had yesterday afternoon. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, nearly knocked me off my feet. I walked into the lobby of my hotel, and who do you think I found waiting there for me? Oh, you'll never guess in a million years. My father, God bless him, I rushed up to him, put my arms around, and I said, Papa, Papa, what are you doing in Hollywood? He said, what am I doing in Hollywood? It's the doctor's orders. In Washington, I didn't feel so good, and the doctor told me I got to have a Swedish massage. Where can I find Greta Garbo? And if you don't think I took my father around the studio to see the pretty girls, you're sadly mistaken. My father thought of that. Well, I took him everywhere, and what a time we had. Down at San Diego's position, there was nothing we didn't see. We finally came to a machine that when it's completed will be the mechanical wonder of the age. A machine that where you put a nickel in, out will come a white. I turned to my father and I said, think of it, Papa. What an invention. You throw in a nickel and out comes a white. My father said, that's an invention. I'd like to see a machine where you put in a white and out should come a nickel. And now I'd like to sing you a little song that's a sort of combination song. In fact, it's two songs in one. In June, most everybody merges. So May, I merge. March winds and April showers. Shell out, Victor. I I like every month of the year. Summer, winter, and fall. But love is a tenderer thing. It only blossoms in spring. March winds and April showers make way for sweet Mayflowers. And then comes June, a moon and you. March winds and April showers, romance will soon be ours. An outdoor paradise for two. With your lips to mine, in a thrill divine, I'll be so inspired that I'll get you the moon for a toy balloon. March winds and April showers make way for happy hours and May time, June time, love time, and you know April showers may come your way. They bring the flowers that are blooming in May. And if it's raining, have no regret, because it is raining, rain, you know, it's raining violets. March winds and April showers make way for happy hours and May time, June time, love time, and yours.
Our first stars tonight are a pair of young fellows who are one of the biggest attractions on the air. 5 years ago, these two young men met each other for the first time in Bill of an Act, which is booked for a week at the Capitol Theater in New York. But they played there 6 weeks. Then they went on the radio. Millions of radio fans know them today. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest two-man teams in show business, Les Reed and Artie Dunn. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the boys will present a musical description of a day in a department store. Reese and Dunn play the part of a couple of floor walkers in Finkel's store on the day of a big sale.
All right, boys, set this way. Down the center aisle and over by the escalator, you'll find the piano. Go to work, go to work, go to work.
Oh, Miss McGonagall, is your cash ready?
Yes, Mr. Reese.
And Miss Beverly.
Yes, Mr. Dunn.
Take those diapers out of the infant well and put them in with the dry goods.
Yes, sir.
Well, Mr. Dunn, it looks like a big crowd.
It does indeed, Mr. Reese. Shall we open up the stores?
Right. Are you ready, girls?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Come one, come all, it's Finkel's bargain day.
The thought that serves you with a smile, you have a month to pay.
Come one, come all, we'll take you through the store.
Meet Mr. Reeves
and Mr. Dunn, the gents who walk the floor.
Complaint,
confide in us.
Complaint,
abide in us.
You'll find us service most polite. We're on the floor till late at night.
Complaint, just speak for us.
Complaint,
just speak for us.
At Finkel's, no one has to fight. The customer is always right.
9 o'clock, the day's begun. It's three for all and all for one.
The crowd comes in, they're running wild. The woman here has lost her child.
The child, the child. Madame has lost her child. We'll find the babe without delay. We'll find her if it takes all night. If not, we'll make good right away. The customer is always right. We're saying the customer is always right. Oh, we're repeating the customer is always. The customer is always. The customer is always right.
Hi, socks, hats, coats, dogs, dolls, toys, boats.
What's that, madam? Lingerie?
First floor, madam, right this way.
The elevators are in the rear.
Call your floors and make them clear. First floor, watch the door. Cigarettes, pipes, and tobacco. First floor, watch the door. Groceries, cheeses,
and crackers. And gloves and bargain pay.
And shirts and
book of bargain
pay.
And shirts and bargain
pay. Fine on the merry hours, drink of bargain day. Hey, listen, you, I bought this hat. The darn thing doesn't fit at all. It's way too big.
Now, don't say that. It may be that your head's too small. Reese.
Humming.
Done.
Humming.
Reese.
Humming.
Done.
Humming. Hurry up, you lazy lug. A woman wants a Chinese rug. Take her up and fill the order. Show her to the Chinese quarter.
Lady wanna buy him a Chinese rug. A pink color, tell him a Chinese rug. Elevator him a come right this way. Very nice rug today.
Hey, make it snappy. Hurry up. A lady wants to buy a duck.
Hold me, madam. Call the third.
Take the lift and get the bus. Third floor. Watch the door. Underwear, stockings, and matches. Third floor. Watch the door. Can't guarantee without patches.
And paint some pins and pen, cotton,
set some cotton, coat
and
cuts and rhyme.
Round the rally hour, shrink of bargain day.
I beg your pardon.
Yes, sir.
Me name is Grace.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'd like to buy a present for a lady.
I see.
Please suggest a gift this night.
For your girl?
No, me wife.
All the bargains in the basement, Mr. Grady.
Reese.
Humming.
Done.
Humming.
Reese.
Humming.
Done.
Now, Mr. Jones is always anxious for a genuine Indian blanket. Take them up and fill the order. Show them to the Indian quarter.
We sell Indian blankets here. We sell Indian blankets here. We sell Indian this and that and manufactured in Manhattan. We sell Indian blankets here.
Reese.
Humming.
Done.
Humming.
Reese.
Humming.
Done.
Humming. Now, the gentleman was here last night. He bought some shoes. They're much too tight.
He may be wrong, but we won't fight.
The customer is always right. We're saying the customer is always right. The customer is always. The customer is always. The customer is always right.
Excuse me, boy.
Yes?
My name's Mo.
Uh-huh.
Now, tell me, what's the teeniest thing you've got in rayon hole?
Well, now, we could show you on the spot, even though she's not so hot.
For the teeniest thing, we've got the girl in rose.
Mr. East, Mr. Dunn, better come here on the run. The crowd is busting up the place.
Boy, have we got fun.
Mr. Dunn, Mr. East, better telephone the police. There's a riot at the bargain sale.
Not a minute, please.
Wait, sir.
Now, cut the customers.
Desist.
The customers are standing here for everyone. Give your order, talk or run.
Please.
The customers.
Please.
The customers.
We're here to see you treated right and not to referee a fight.
Don't.
The customers.
What, don't?
The customers. If someone breaks that glass, you know the money's taken off our dough.
The customers.
I know.
The customers. The tire's not to fail. My head's not while it's around my neck.
No.
The customers.
Help.
The customers.
Help.
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 Help. Where's the face? What a house. Beast and gun have been knocked out.
They've weathered many a storm and gale, but not a single bargain sale.
Water.
Water.
Give them water. Give them air. Don't you see them lying there?
Water. Water.
Hey, stand back there, you and you.
Give them water. Give them air. Don't you see them lying there?
Water.
Water.
Hey, stand back there, you and you. Can't you see they're coming through?
Water.
Water.
Water sale, we've seen it. Water sale, we've had tonight. Oh, we're saying all the 30 days to pay has been cold. And the customer is always on.
You know Jack Stan and Peggy Gardner, those two youngsters that work here at the Chateau? Well, Jack certainly had a big day yesterday.
Yesterday was his birthday. And you know how old he was? Just 21. Yes, sir, Jack was 21 years old yesterday. And Peggy has saved up her money for a month to get him a present. And you'll never guess what she bought him. A little fox terrier no bigger than my fist. Cutest little dog you ever saw. Well, that's puppy love. Isn't it wonderful? Come on out here, kids, and sing. Sing that beautiful song, One Kiss, from the new moon, Jack Stannin and Peggy Gardner.
One kiss, one love, to save it for. one more and nothing more to tell him you're his own.
One magic night when he's gone, she'd find you
we're presenting in South Dakota tonight is a man I've known for a long time. He grew up in New York on the East Side. And after he got tired of taking lickings from all the other kids in the block, he learned to box. And then they let him alone. But he kept on fighting till he became the light heavyweight champion of the world. And I'm sure you're all glad to see him here in South Dakota tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Slapsy Maxie Rosenblum. Maxie, how did you happen to become a professional fighter?
Well, now, when I was a kid, I used to take a lot of beatings and street fights on East Side, New York, until I found out I could get paid for it. And my first manager was George Arath.
George Arath. Well, you certainly had a fine fellow managing you. Tell me, Maxie, when you started fighting, didn't your family object?
Sure, I used to come home with black eyes all the time, and my father would always bawl me out. I remember after my first professional fight, I came home with a black eye, and my father started to go for me with a slap. I said, wait a minute, Pop. Look what I got for this black eye. And handed him a $20 bill. And when he saw that, he said, Maxie, when do you fight again?
How many professional fights have you had, Maxie?
300.
Well, out of the 300, tell me, how many did you win?
I won 280 out of the 300. And out of the 20 that I lost, I beat most of those fellows later in return bouts.
Oh, that's a swell record. Tell me, Maxie, what do you think of the Bear Braddock fight?
Well, Al, I thought Bear was a great fighter. And naturally, I figured him to win. But if Braddock beat him, Braddock must be a better man.
Oh, that's fine sportsmanship, Maxie. By the way, didn't you fight Braddock once?
Yes, Al, I fought him 5 years ago at Madison Square Garden.
Well, tell me, how did you make out?
I beat him.
Oh, that's swell. I don't think you'll get another chance. Maxie, I want to ask you something. What was the toughest fight you ever had?
Well, Al, the toughest fight I ever had was with a guy called Hairball Kelly. Practically an unknown.
Mm-hmm.
He hit me with a right hand, and down I went. Everybody thought I was out. But if ever anybody put up a tough fight, it was me. I got up off the floor, fought that gal for speech and gave him the worst lacing he ever had in his life. Boy, I said it was tough that night.
You think that's tough? That's nothing alongside of what I did. When you talk about tough, just listen to this. You know that guy, Joe Lewis, that knocked out Canera the other night?
Yes.
Well, you should have heard what I told him. I told that guy plenty. I told him he was nothing but a big palooka, a big sissy. I told him I'd blacken both his eyes and bust his nose in, too.
You told Joe Lewis all that? What did he say?
What could he say? I hung up on him.
For a minute, you had me thinking you were tough. But I'll never forget the time in one of my fights. My opponent was down, and I begged him to get up.
Your opponent was down, you begged him to get up? Why?
He was on top of me.
Wait a minute, Maxie. I'm the comedian here.
Yeah, that's what you think.
I'm a comedian, too. Before I know it, you'll tell me you're a singer of songs.
Say, I can sing, too. Tell Victor to play, and I'll give you an imitation of Harry Richmond.
Say, listen, what have you got against Richmond?
Nothing. Nothing.
Well, you might as well go ahead. Richmond isn't here to defend himself.
Is that so? If you get too smart, I'll imitate you.
Do me a favor, will you, Maxie? Here's $5. Imitate Tanner.
Tanner gave me $10 to imitate you.
Well, if that's the case, you better imitate Richmond.
Okay.
When you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where Harlem sits? You're putting on a red Bangor gown's a part of the...
Hey, what's that bow for?
Nothing, just a major bow special.
Yeah, well, when I hear a bell, it means fight.
Listen, if you don't stop singing, there'll be a fight.
All right. Say, swell, fighting is my meat. Shout out, Victor.
That's where we find every bell call.
Every Thursday evening with a bell bow. Robin Ralpho, come with me and I'll attend. At Jubilee and defend the last two bits. You're putting on the rest. God,
thank you, Maxie Rosenblum. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to pay a little tribute to one of the greatest songwriters America's ever known. I've known a good many songwriters in my time, and I've sung their songs. But the man I'm talking about now is a man I've never met. His name... Stephen Foster. And the anniversary of his birthday is next Thursday. He was born July 4th, more than 100 years ago. Although he was the author of the great songs of Swanee River, Old Kentucky Home, and Old Black Joe, he died in poverty and obscurity in New York. Stephen Foster didn't live to be 40, but his songs will live forever. This evening, I'd like to sing one of his greatest songs, Oh, Susanna.
I came from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I'm a gwine to Louisiana, my true love for the sea. It rained all night, get gay, I left. The weather, it was dry. The sun so hot, I froze to death. Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I had a dream the other night when everything was still. I thought I saw Susanna coming down the hill. The buckwheat cake was in her mouth. The tear was in her eye. Says I'm coming from the south. Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. Susanna, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee.
We'll join Al Dolson again at Shell Chateau in just a minute. If you had a hole in your gasoline tank, of course you'd do something about it. You wouldn't go on letting gasoline leak out all over the street or on your garage floor. You wouldn't stand for that waste. Yet you are wasting gasoline in another way, so long as you go on using a gasoline that is not balanced, that is not suited to the stop-and-go driving we all do. You can waste as much as a cupful of gasoline on a cold start or on a quick getaway. And this wasted gasoline adds up into real money because, you see, 80% of all your driving is on short trips right around home. You're starting or accelerating a good share of the time. But now, you can get a gasoline that cuts down this waste. It's Super Shell, the first truly balanced gasoline. It gives you the three kinds of power you need in just the right proportions. Power for quick starting, power for accelerating and hard pulling, and power for long, steady driving. And, of course, the gasoline you save by using Super Shell goes into giving you better mileage. Decide now to cut down the waste on everyday driving by using Super Shell. At least, try one tank full. You'll see this balanced gasoline goes noticeably farther on stop-and-go driving.
Going on. Tonight we have Sylvia Fruit, Reese and Dunn, Maxie Rosenblum, and Otto Kruger and Martha Sleeper. And now we're going to have a medley of tunes from Victor Young and his orchestra. Some of them are old, some of them are new, but they're all great tunes, and they sound even greater the way Victor Young plays them. Shell out, Victor, shell out. Oh, Victor, that was swell. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, a show can be packed full of talent. We could have all the champions in the world. We could have the greatest dramatic actor and the finest comedian. But no show is really complete without that feminine touch.
Ah, we all love the ladies. And tonight, we have one of the most charming and talented young ladies right here in Chateau.
5'2", eyes of blue, as pretty as a picture and gorgeous too, Miss Sylvia Fruit.
Sylvia, Sylvia. This little lady, ladies and gentlemen, who just turned 21, was with me at the Winter Garden in New York 10 years ago as a baby star. And she was stopping shows then. And I know you're going to like her tonight. Miss Fruit will sing a song medley called International Love.
That's what I'm going to say.
All right.
Love, your magic spell is in the air. Love, I seem to find you everywhere. In any old city, in any old land, when they say that thing, then you'll understand. And when you are traveling through the tropics, it is one of their favorite topics. And up in Alaska, when an Eskimo asks you, you may not know me, but you'll know what he means. Now, I went to Monte Carlo the other day. I went to Monte Carlo just to have some fun and to play. While there, I met a Frenchman, and right away, I felt him close beside me, and I heard him say, Parlez-moi d'amour, dites-moi des choses tendres. I met a wild mujik. That mass of muscle didn't miss a trick. You know, many things he said in Russian that were not so clear. Ah, but when he said that certain thing, I had a pretty good idea. As he whispered in my ear, oh, he told me, it was there that I met that young matador. Not bad, not bad. He deserves an encore. A balcony, a guitar, and the moon. And I knew I'd find love very soon. Then came that
lucky day. I got back to the USA. The boyfriend let me just appear so snappy and gay. He whispered this into my ear in the good old American way. Say, you're a builder of a breaker downer, a holder outer, and I'm a giver in a sad but true on the taproot too. Taking it from a taker over like you, but don't know where it'll matter. I'm just a visser, then I'm a batter, a taker on the chinner. My, 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 what a weak am I to love you like I do. Oh, just when I'm ready to sob, you hand me a throb and everything is hunky-dory. And that's my story. Open your arms and I'm a stooge for your charms. Don't build a rubber, I'll break a downer, I'll hold a router. And I'm a taker in a sad but true. I love what I do, being broken by a little rubber like you do.
Sylvia, you sang beautifully.
Thank you.
You know, I've known you since you were a little girl. It seems like yesterday when you were wearing pigtails.
No, Mr. Joseph.
Well, now you're a big girl, Sylvia. You ought to be keeping company.
I am keeping company. But my father doesn't want me to see my boyfriend anymore.
Why?
Well, my father said my boyfriend's a nut. What do you think I ought to do?
Why don't you take your nut and bolt?
Oh. He's such a nice boy, too. Oh, look, Al. Here's the engagement ring he bought me.
Let me see. Let me see that ring, Sylvia. I'm a man that likes diamonds.
Well, I don't know how you feel about diamonds, but I know you're crazy about Ruby.
Baby, baby, that's a gem.
Oh, Mr. Jolson.
Yeah?
I saw the picture go into your dance that you made with your wife, Ruby Keeler. Gee, that was a swell picture.
Thanks.
And I meant to ask you, how did you come to make a picture with your wife?
Well, if you really want to know, I got sick and tired of watching that guy Dick Powell kiss her. If there's going to be any kissing, I'm going to kiss Ruby myself.
You bet.
And now I want to present our dramatic star, Mr. Otto Kruger. Tonight, his leading lady is a beautiful and talented young actress, Martha Sleeper. They'll present a scene from the current Broadway success, Accent on You. Written by Samuel Raphael, produced by Crosby Gage. The play is already in its 6 months of its engagement to Plymouth Theatre, New York. It is a pleasure to welcome to Shell Chateau this evening, Miss Martha Sleeper and Mr. Otto Kruger. Accent on Youth is a story about a middle-aged playwright, played by Mr. Kruger. His name is Stephen Gay in the play, and he's the author of a long series of successful comedies. Now, however, he has attempted a serious play, a tragic study of an older man's love for a young girl. But he had difficulty in completing it to his own satisfaction, largely because, at 51, he's unable himself to believe in the dignity of old love. So he decided to give up the whole thing, marry his leading lady, Genevieve Lang, and take a trip to Finland. As our scene opens, he's about to call his producer and break the news to him. And so he calls in his pretty secretary, Linda, played by Martha Sleeper. Although Linda's charming, he has never noticed her. The curtain rises on the Accent of Youth. Linda!
Yes, Mr. Gay?
Get Mr. Benham for me, will you? No, you better not. He'll only talk my head off. Take a letter. You ready?
It's time for your 5 o'clock pill, Mr. Gay.
Oh, no more pills, Linda. No more work. No more taking care of myself. From now on, I'm simply going to enjoy life. You ready?
Ready.
Dear Bill, when you get this, come on. I'll be on the Ile-de-France in my first lap to Finland. Period. Forget about old love, Dash, and save yourself a lot of headaches. Period. Nobody cares about that old fool anyway. Now, what do you think of it, Linda? I'm quitting. I'm going to live. For the first time in my life, I've stopped being a playwright. I'm a man, that's what I am, and I don't mean maybe. What have you got?
Nobody cares about that old fool anyway.
Huh? Oh, yeah, period. Bill, I've retired, period. I really have, Linda. There are my collected works, 19 comedies. I'm a success, I've got money, why do I have to write tragedies? You stick your head into the clouds, what does it get you? A crown of thorns. Put your feet on the ground, what does that get you? Bunions.
Make a note. Advertisement. Apartment for rent. 8 rooms. 2 stories. View of East River. I've retired. What's the last thing I said?
Bill, dash, have retired, period.
I've never lived before, period. I'm going to do all the things I was always about to do, period. I learned golf. Exclamation point. It keeps you out in the open air, period. Then there are all those books I was going to read someday, period, and all the people I was going to meet, dash. Think of it, Colin. You could kill all the actors, writers, and authors and directors in the world, and there'd still be fishermen in Capri, comma, peasants in France, comma, bandits in Sicily, period. And I wouldn't be surprised if I found romance in Finland. 2 exclamation points. Why, Bill, this is something you ought to do too, period. Nature to us has never been anything but a set against which dramas have to be played, period. Just think of it, Linda. I don't give a hang about that first act love scene. I don't give a hang about any scene. I never have to worry again about lines, characters, transitions, curtains. Will this get a laugh? Will that get a tear? I don't have to worry about audiences. The devil with audiences. I've retired. What have you got?
Nature to us has never been anything but a set against which dramas have to be played, period.
I'm afraid that letter's going to be over Benham's head. Kill it. I'll send him a radiogram from the boat. Anne Linda, you're discharged. With my compliments, my gratitude, and my affection. Now we'll have to give you a nice present. What did you like most in the world?
Nothing, thank you.
Oh, come, Linda. I'm serious. Would you like a car? A trip to Europe? Maybe a trousseau? Haven't you got a boyfriend?
No.
Oh, that's silly. You're a fine-looking girl, and you'd make any man a splendid wife. I tell you what. You write yourself a check for 6 months' salary. Sure. You retire, too. Say, here's an idea. Go down to Saks and order yourself a complete outfit. Charge it to me. Then you can take a trip somewhere. Take your mother along.
I haven't got a mother.
Oh, of course. I forgot. I'm sorry. Well, I'll take a girlfriend. 2 nice girls. Honolulu, ukuleles, Yellowstone Park, cowboys and Indians. See America first, or maybe Havana, huh? That's romantic.
Here's the check. Will you please sign it?
Why, certainly. What's this? $41.65.
Today's the 4th day of the week. My salary is 60 a week. 4 days makes 40, and I paid $1.65 for that parcel post package yesterday.
What's the matter, Linda? What have I done?
Nothing's the matter.
Why, you're angry.
No, I'm accurate. You've discharged me, haven't you?
Well, I wouldn't put it
yes
that way.
Yes or no?
Yes.
You finished all your notes, your letters, and your telephone calls. You'll find everything filed away. Your manuscripts are in order, and all the bills for the month are paid. Pencils are sharpened, the typewriter's covered, and the desk is shut. Your pills are in the middle drawer. My working day is over. You owe me $41.65.
Oh, my dear child, I owe you far more than that. As a matter of fact, strictly speaking, you're entitled to 2 weeks' notice.
You gave me a month's vacation last summer on double pay. That covers everything. Here's the check. Will you please sign? May I have it, please? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now we're true, aren't we?
Well, it looks that way, yes.
You're no longer my employer.
No.
And I'm no longer your secretary.
Right.
We're just 2 human beings together.
Yes, Linda.
A man and a woman.
Man and a woman.
Well, before I say goodbye, I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that the 3 years and 2 months I've spent with you have been the most wonderful, painful, happiest years I've ever had or hoped to have. You didn't know I was on Earth, but you've given me more than you could have given your wife or any other woman, or your friends or your audiences. I had you when you were alone. You spoiled every man I know for me. You did that the first month. Oh, I don't think I'll ever forget a single look on your face. A single word you said. You've done a terrible thing. You've opened my eyes, my heart, my brain. And you never touched me. It hurts. Every bit of it hurts. How could it not hurt? It was so beautiful. And if you think I can walk out of this house quietly, that you can smile me away with money and a few new dresses, you think I can walk out of here without wanting to kill you, without wanting to cut my initials into every day you're going to live, you're crazy. Goodbye. And try to forget me.
Hey! Wait a minute. Come here. Let me look at you. You strange creature. You lovely creature. Now, don't turn away from me. Let me look at you some more. I'm not patronizing you. I'm seeing you. You're grand.
What if I were only 35 or 40 instead of 51? What do you want of me, Linda?
Nothing.
Not true?
I know it isn't true.
What do you want of me, Linda?
I don't know. Everything. Anything.
Sit down, darling. Why, of course. Of course, it's the most natural thing in the world. Where do you live, Linda?
West 10th Street.
Apartment?
Yes.
Your parents are dead. You went to college or something, didn't you?
But they...
Why, certainly. A girl like that. I come into her life, and it happens. Suddenly, like a banquet, she gets Broadway, literature, personalities, and me. Linda, I know you won't believe me, but you'll get over this.
Will I?
Yes, you will. You're young. You've made yourself ready. The world is full of fascinating people, and much more fascinating than I am.
You know that isn't true.
Well, I suppose there's something in what you say. Am I physically attractive?
Yes.
That's funny. You know, when you get right down to it, I can't think offhand of a man, you know, who could make you forget me. I'm beginning to see what a spot you're in. I am a unique combination. Witty, sensitive, imaginative, worldly, gay, and yet with a feeling for tragedy. And I know myself too well. I've been around too much to deny that I'm charming.
You're wonderful.
Doggone it, I know I am. But Linda, my sweet, I don't love you. I don't love anybody.
I know that. You don't have to tell me I know that.
And suppose I did love you. Suppose just for the sake of argument I fell in love with you. Well, it'd be worse. Picture a man of 51 with a... Why, it's like the situation in this darn play of mine.
Say. Linda. Get your notebook.
Yes.
I've got it. By George, I've got it. You ready?
Ready.
Oh, Linda, this is marvelous. How can I ever repay you? Do you realize what you've done? Angel, you saved my play. Get this. Oh, why didn't I think of it before? She makes love to him. How beautifully simple. She makes love to him, and it whitewashes the old fella completely. Oh, God bless you, Linda. You happy? Well, I'm in love with the play all over again, aren't you?
I always was.
Oh, now, let's see. You were standing right here. Goodbye, but before I go, I want you to know that I love you. Even the goodbye idea is great. What a build-up. You remember what you said after that?
I can't remember.
It doesn't matter. The years I've spent with you, I'm going to make her a secretary. We'll pay the whole first act in his office. We can do it. We can work it out in 3 days. What did I say?
Goodbye, but before I go, I want you to know I love you. The years I've spent with you
have been pure hell every second, every hour, every day, period. But I'd rather have that hell than 10 heavens with any other man, period.
Rotten. Too melodramatic. You said it so much better. I'm too excited. Till that last speech.
All right. Now, let's see. You've done the terrible thing to me. You've opened my eyes, my heart, my brain. You never touched me.
I said that. That's what I said.
It hurt. Every bit of it hurt. How could it not hurt? It was so beautiful.
I said that too.
And if you think I can walk out of here without wanting to kill you. What's the matter? Aren't you writing it down?
Give it to me again.
You've opened my eyes, my heart, my brain. You never touched me, period. You spoiled every man I know for me, period. You did that in the first month. What goes after that?
It hurt. Every bit of it hurt. How could it not hurt? It was so beautiful.
Oh, you got that down?
Yes, I've got it down.
Oh, Linda. I'm a brute. That shouldn't be news to you now.
Hello. Yes. It's your leading lady, Genevieve Lang.
Oh, good heavens. Linda, dear. Do you love this play as much as I do?
More.
Do you think this new scene's going to make a difference?
Yes, I do.
Will you type it?
Of course I will.
Hello, Genevieve. you did? Yeah. The what? The bridal suite? Nice. Oh, I tell you, Genevieve, I don't know whether you'll quite understand this, but I've... No. Listen. Well, you'll go through the ceiling when you hear this, but listen, on the other hand, it means a wonderful part for you. Yes. Yes.
Yes, Genevieve, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. Listen, all I ask is let me read you this scene I first written. It changes everything.
I switched the scene from Galloway to you. It's your scene. At the same time, it makes the old fellow as romantic, as colorful, as exciting as any... Hello, Genevieve. Hello. Hello.
He hung up.
Linda, where's that 5 o'clock pill?
Thank you, Otto Kruger, and thank you, Martha Sleeper. And a bow to the author of the play, Sam Rapleton. It seems like yesterday that Sam wrote The Jazz Singer, which I made as a Warner Brothers' first talking picture. That was 8 years ago. How tempest fugit. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to sing you a new song that will be introduced in a new picture by the most charming and beautiful lady of the screen, Miss Marion Davies, known to everyone in the film colony for her many charitable deeds. I know that hundreds of little boys and girls in hospitals look forward to her regular visits. And for these children and her countless admirers everywhere, I'm happy to be the first to sing the title song of her new picture, Paige Miss Glory. All right, Victor.
Each little word you utter is like a melody, like a tuneful spoonful of music to me. Each little smile you give me is like an April day. I miss you every moment you're away. When the moon is new, I always make a little wish or two. And when I want someone to tell them to, what do? I page Miss Glory. When the stars grow bright and sprinkle all the shadows with their light, to add a little bit of romance to a lovely night, I page Miss Glory. I've never seen a sunset, a rainbow in the sky, that ever could compare with the glory of your eyes. So when we're apart, and I begin to feel the teardrops start, and when I get that empty feeling way down in my heart, I take Miss Glory. When the moon is new, I always make a little wish or two. And when I want someone to tell them to, what do? I take Miss Glory. When the stars grow bright and sprinkle all the shadows with their light, to add a little bit of romance to a lovely night, I taste Miss Glory. I've never seen a sunset, a rainbow in the sky, that ever could compare with the glory of your eyes. So when we're apart, and I begin to feel the teardrops start, and when I get that empty feeling way down in my heart, I taste Miss Glory.
Al Jolson will be back with us in just a minute. Here's a way you can save money without making any sacrifice. It's simply to cut down the waste on your everyday driving. You do this when you use Super Shell. By using this new type gasoline, you can run your car as much as ever or more and still use up less gasoline. You see, Super Shell is specially suited for this stop-and-go driving that makes up 80% of all the driving you do. It's the first truly balanced gasoline. It's economical for starting and accelerating, as well as steady driving. By using Super Shell, you can save as much as a cupful of gasoline starting and warming up the engine. you can save another cupful on 10 minutes of rapid accelerate. With all the starting, shifting, and accelerating you do, you save enough gasoline to carry you a good many extra miles. Yet Super Shell costs no more than other gasoline, and you can get it anywhere, at any of the 30,000 neighborly Shell stations from coast to coast. Get a tank full soon, and notice how much better stop-and-go mileage it gives you.
I hope, ladies and gentlemen, all back here in Shelterdo next Saturday night. Because you won't want to miss our big show. We're all feeling very happy here in Shelterdo right now. Why, we heard that the University of California crew won the Intercollegiate Sprint Championship in the Marine Stadium at Long Beach, establishing a new world record for 2,000 meters. Well, you know we only get you things that are hot off the griddle, and I'm proud to announce that next Saturday we're going to have the California coach, Kai Ebright, and his coxswain, Reggie Watts, here with us in Shelterdo. We're also going to have that rising and popular young screen star, Dixie Lee. You know I have a wife that can take this. Well, so has Bing Crosby. And when I say Dixie Lee, I mean Mrs. Crosby. We're going to have that great comedy team, Gil and Demling. And if that weren't enough, we're going to have that famous star, Richard Barthelmess, in a scene from his new picture, 4 Hours to Kill. So remember, it's a date next Saturday night. And don't forget, the next time you're out driving and you need gas, drop into your nearest Shell service station. This is Al Jolson saying from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters, and the same goes for you, brothers. Thanks to family every Saturday night. Thank you kindly for the letters you write. This is Aldi, your palsy Waldy, and I wanna promise you, Shelterdo will bring you guest stars. We hope they'll be the best stars. And now I'll say good night to you.
When Al Jolson presents Dixie Lee, Cy Ebright, Gillum Demling, and Richard Barthelmess. This program has come to you from the NBC studios in Hollywood, California. Your announcers are John McIntyre and Frank Nelson. This is the National Broadcasting Company.